seek in the Lord's help for a little time this evening. We turn to the portion which we read together in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. And we read again at verse 19. Chapter 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now when Moses had, when he spoke these words, they had presided over Israel for some 40 years. He had done many things for Israel over that time, over the years of their wandering in the wilderness. But now his work had been completed. He had lived a devout life. He had finished his course. But not only had he done many things, but he had also said many things to these people. For he had cared for them. He had led them. He had prayed for them as their shepherd and as the great lawgiver, of which testimony is given both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The Old Testament says, "My servant Moses, who is faithful in all my house." That was his testimony on Numbers, in chapter 12. And in the New Testament, in reference to the high priest Jesus Christ, it is said of him, said of Moses, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. As also Moses was faithful in all his house. Now he knew what God had done for them. He had been with them from the beginning. He had brought them to the very border of Canaan, the promised land. And now he himself was summoned by God to give his account of his ministrations to them. And that is what we have in the second verse there, when he says, "And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. But the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over Jordan." So he was no longer to lead them. And these words had the added solemnity in them that they were spoken not only from the borders of Canaan, but from the very brink of eternity itself. As Martin, or was it Baxter, who said that he was preaching as a dying man to dying men. Now he appealed to them that he had discharged his duties faithfully towards them. And he called what was most permanent and most unchanging, the most unchanging feature of the whole creation. He called that to witness what he had said. And we have there in that text, "I call heaven and earth to record or to witness this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." And now he appeals to the people to be faithful, to make the proper choice, because these words that he speaks to them there are virtually a command. Therefore choose life. It is virtually a command to them. that both thou and thy seed may live. Therefore choose life. For a little I want to look with you this evening at the course that is set before them and the choice that was set there also. Now looking at that course, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Looking first at the latter, for death and cursing. Now that is the curse all men are in by nature and practice, because sin introduced death into this world. As we read in Romans chapter 5, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Now you notice carefully, it is not life and annihilation, and it is not blessing of being deprived of what is good, but a blessing or a curse. A blessing or a curse. It is not here you don't have a little profit and a little loss. It is all or nothing. This is all or nothing. Now, were it annihilation of some of the sects, for example, the Jehovah Witnesses preach, and sad to say, many other prominent theologians as well, were in annihilation, that is an eternal sleep, then you would have at least the consolation of knowing that you would be unconscious of your loss. But as you die, when you die, as your soul must live forever, that cannot be. That cannot be. Now, have you ever thought of that death is the second death? Have you ever given a thought as to what the curse is? What shall be endured there? When that state of extreme misery and wretchedness is brought before us in a variety of figures in the Holy Word of God. It is spoken of as a disease, as poverty, as blindness, and so on. But we always remember that these are only figures, these are only expressions. And remember, that is only the shadow of the woes that await an unpardoned sinner in the eternal world, just the shadow. And there is a vast difference between the shadow and the substance. Now, if you can imagine all that is and has been for yourselves favourable, joyous, pleasurable, gratifying, restful, pleasing, hopeful, if you can imagine all that and extract them all and leave remorse and misery and anxiety and despair and helplessness, and that unmixed and forever, eternal. And again, you are only in a small measure considering, or beginning to consider what is before you. This course, man is on by nature, for all have sinned. God looked, and behold, there was none righteous. No, not one. God has concluded all men in unbelief. All have gone astray. All have wandered in their own way. A sheep. Now, if you are here tonight and you are Christless, do you think that you are the exception among men? Do you think that you are the exception among men? Now, remember that by nature, man by nature is already dead, and life is the first essential blessing that we need. And that life is offered to us freely in the Word of God. It is set before us fully, freely, to every single one of us, in Christ Jesus, who said, I am the way, as he is the truth, and also the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those who have the Son have life. Those who have not the Son have not life. Now tell me, if that is your condition, Christ's condition, would you rather that I set before you the only means that exists for being reconciled to God? Or would you rather hear funny stories that would amuse you and that would make you laugh as you run headlong to a lost eternity? Or if you are more intellectual, as some people think they are, would you rather be entertained by speculative theories of men? Or would you prefer to hear some human system that is a perversion of the Word of God, which will say that they will get you out of the condition you are in? Or would you prefer a pillow to be put under your head in a tomb, so that you can sleep on, slumber on in your sins, and slumber, slip deeper into them, into the slumber of death? Or would you rather hear me say to you, peace, peace, when there is no peace, when there is no rest for the wicked? Or would you rather hear the gospel, which assures you life only if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God against all who refuse and reject and neglect the salvation that is freely offered in Christ? These things kept back, which is profitable to you. Well, I would rather set before you God's unadulterated word and let it speak for itself. Christ and Him crucified. Set it before you as plain as it is possible for me to do, not to tickle the ears of men, not as the apostle himself said, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And before you, in this text, is not something to amuse you, nor is it something to tickle your ears, but something which is a matter of life and death. Not just life and death, but eternal life and eternal death. May God help all His faithful ministers who live in this day, who have this responsibility, and are deeply concerned to bring the words of life to deathless souls. You read these words and see for yourselves the truth of them. As to the offer of life and death, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. These are not my words. Now the other thing that is set before us there is life and blessing. Life is the essential blessing we all need, because we are all already dead. And that is offered to us. That means freedom from the sentence of death. Now God offers to blot out all our iniquities with the penalties and the punishment which that incur. Promises to take away the heart of stone and put His own spirit within us. And not only has He life in Himself, but He gives eternal life to those whom the Father hath given Him. And the words born again, the born again person, partakes of the divine nature in some mysterious way. For Christ gives them eternal life. He says to them in John chapter 14, and if I remember rightly, verse 19, it says that, because I live, ye shall live also. That it is not just endless in existence and immortality, but it also It is endless life of blessedness. Notice the word that is there. I have set before you life, but also blessing. And that means healing. Being reconciled to God. We have his favor as the chief good. We have his love in our souls. We have peace of God in our hearts. We have the Spirit of God within us. We have the providence of God without, which shall work to the good of all his own people, because that is his promise, that God, he works all things for the good of them who love him, and who are called according to his purpose. Now the promises of God are us, is our encouragement along life's journey, and the Christian can take every one of them, every one of these good promises to himself, because if they are in Christ, these promises are yea and amen in Christ. That is here, but hereafter, last of all, an eternal, pure, unmixed, unmingled good, forever and ever. Pleasures that are forevermore at God's right hand. Rivers of felicity, fullness of joy, pleasures evermore at God's right hand. Live outside of the Saviour, outside of Christ, there is no life. Whatever pleasures you may have, these things are only transient. They are passing from you. Without Christ, you are dead while you live. Therefore, it tells them, choose life. Now notice the choice for a little. And that is an appeal to choose wisely. To choose wisely. Therefore, choose life. Now the way of life and blessing is free to all men. Although it cost the Saviour much. We are not born with silver and gold and corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. You are at liberty to accept it or reject it. Now, Almighty God is sincere when he says he would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. If that is not so, how can we then explain the solemn oath of Jehovah himself? As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And God is not mocking when he says that. He's not mocking when he says to you, turn ye from your evil way. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? And that none are accepted from that invitation and the blessing of the gospel, we are told the prophet Isaiah, where he says, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, and more by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who says that him that cometh to me, whosoever he be, whatsoever he hath done, I will in no wise cast out. And who have ye ever heard of who sought the Lord and was rejected? Who sought the face of the God of Jacob in vain? I sought the Lord, said the psalmist, as we're singing together in Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, he heard. And he delivered him from all his fears. So then I say to you, choose life. Choose life. That is, choose God for your father. And he will acknowledge you as his children. Choose Christ for your Saviour. And he will present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Choose the Holy Spirit to sanctify you, and he will complete the work in you which he begins. Choose heaven for your inheritance, and you would never come short of it. I think it was Lachlan Mackenzie of Lochcarron who said that Christ would turn the whole universe upside down if one sheep was lost on the day of judgment. He would turn the whole universe upside down until he found it. But we know that none perish that trust in Christ. There is none lost. I have given unto him eternal life, and none will be lost. Therefore, choose life. Now, remember, God sets good before us, and Satan sets evil before us. And whichever we prefer, that we choose, and that we do. Therefore, he said, tells us, choose life and blessing. The Bible is full of a recognition of each man's own individual responsibility to choose. Even the Savior, when he was addressing man, always assumed that fact. Even in the Old Testament, God said, come and let us reason together. And that's a phenomenal thing. God, pleading, the phenomenal of a pleading God, God pleading with men. Come and let us reason together. Jesus said, come unto me, or else he will say, ye will not come, that ye might have life. Ye will not come, that ye might have life. If any are lost, they are lost because of that decision was not to choose God and life and blessing. Here then is an invitation, and an invitation implies by its nature the possibility of resistance. Therefore, make a choice, make it freely, wisely. And he says, therefore, choose life. And that means us just as surely as wisely, also solemnly. Oh, how many think themselves to be in a position halfway between heaven and hell, a halfway between Christ and the devil. But that is not so. There is no such a place, no such a state in the whole Bible. There is no such a state. The Bible says, he that is not with me is against me. He that is not with me is against me. And remember the solemnity of the choice. It has to do whether you have kinship with angels or with devils throughout the countless ages of ages. Oh, how many today who have now gone to judgment would be glad if they could be back again to hear the invitations and the warnings which they heard so often and slighted. And God has given us faculties to reason, to weigh up, to reflect, to ponder, to consider solemnly what we are to choose. And also, we should be earnest about it, and let us do that quickly, as well as wisely and solemnly, but also quickly. We should be earnest about what we do. Work while it is day. The night cometh, when neither your minister can work for you, nor can you work for yourselves. Therefore, choose life today. Remember, it is with our reach today. Today, the Bible tells us, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Tomorrow is in Satan's calendar. Bible says today, I can say tomorrow. Who knows who will see tomorrow? Remember, the longer you delay, the more you trifle, every hour makes it more likely that you will make a foolish choice. We do not know what that day or even an hour may be a thing about in our own lives. Then what will you do? How will you respond? You hear it and shut it out, or the self-destruction? O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Hear it and do nothing. That is self-condemnation. Because Jesus said, light has come into this world. Men prefer the darkness to the light. Now I know that the offer made for us is for all who hear it, wherever they may be, whatever and whatever they may be. The offer is not to be restricted by the minister in his presentation. For the offer is the expression of love and grace on God's part. And it's an offer of love and grace towards sinful men, and is sincere on God's part, as it is addressed to sinners, and sinners as such. Now, no doubt you think of the natural inability of man to accept the offer of the gospel. That, think of the command of the Saviour also to the man with the withered arm. He commanded him to stretch forth his arm, not the good one, but the one that was withered. Now you think that's an impossibility. How could he stretch forth a withered arm? But power was given in that instance along with the command. And it is given still along with the preaching of the gospel to enable you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A word to Christians also. Oh, how thankful we should be today for light, for being favored with it, and should we concede it from others. What would you think of a person who was stationed on a lighthouse, and he was there to warn ships passing, to avoid the rocks and the reefs that were near, and for directing them into a safe haven, into a safe harbour. Now, if that person saw that ships approaching, he saw ships approaching and he concealed the light and leave them all to perish on the rocks and reefs, what if that person was called to give an account of his actions? What should he say? I did not think it right to create any alarm among the crew and among the passengers. Would that excuse be valid? Would you approve of his conduct? Would you not say that the blood of all who perished would be required at his hands? Or do we not act similarly? And there are other circumstances when we do not shine and tell others of their danger. This is all someone heading straight, a blind person heading straight for the cliffs. Would it be wrong to shout to him and shout loudly and alarm them? And if we do this, who knows, he may be the means of enlightening someone and saving her soul alive. There is here also, in the Ham time, there is a special reference to children, for it says, both thou and thy seed may live. What is likely to bring benefits to our children? A sound instruction from pious parents. What is more likely? That the force of teaching is great, but greater is the force of a good example. Now, although godliness does not run in the blood, Yet we are encouraged to labor, but labor to them, for them will not be in vain in the Lord. Even if some cases it doesn't act so well, yet it is generally true that bring them up in the fear of the Lord, in the mercy of the Lord, and they will not depart from it. So the time is gone. It's a little on what I intended to bring before you. I have done of the godly man Moses, who had done much and said much to the people. He had cared for them, he had led them, he had prayed for them. And now he appeals to them on the border of the promised land, the border, on the very border of the brink of eternity. Choose wisely, choose rightly, because there is a course set before them. Death and cursing. That is the state by nature and practice, not annihilation, not eternal sleep. But again, as they extract everything, the joys and the pleasures and the hope, and leave misery, despair, and helplessness, and what have you, only the shadow of what is ahead. But what is the preference? What would you like? To entertain or to be told of a salvation that is freely offered to us in the Bible? Bible and blessing. The essential blessing that all need. Because all are already dead. But here is the freedom from sentence of death. Here is endless life. Not just endless life, but an endless life of blessedness. Here and also hereafter, by the choice. They choose you this day. Choose wisely. Free to all men. Choose solemnly, because there is no halfway state. Choose quickly, because today is all we have. Who is he that will to thee give place as light in the grave? We have today. If you shut it out, simply self-destruction. If you do nothing, that's only self-condemnation. So I leave you the words then. Choose you your course this day. Choose wisely and choose quickly. To that end, may the Lord bless to us these few thoughts.